state, excuse me, a brief statement on the passing of Mr. Freddie Gray. I want to offer my sincere condolences to his family and to his friends during this very difficult time. The questions that many of you have are the same questions that we're asking. How was Mr. Gray injured? Were our proper protocols and procedures actually followed? What are the next steps to take from here? Right now, we're still collecting details surrounding the incident, but I want our residents to know that we will get the answers to these questions. Commissioner Batts and the Baltimore Police Department are moving very swiftly to complete a thorough and comprehensive investigation as soon as possible. We're committed to transparency, and we will release additional details as we complete our investigation. But our primary focus remains on providing a prompt and comprehensive understanding of the incident so that we can respond accordingly. I understand the frustration of the community, and I take very seriously our obligation on transparency. However, we also have to balance that with our obligation to ensure a proper and thorough investigation is undertaken. Therefore, we have to move forward in a responsible way to determine all the facts of this incident so that we can provide the community with the answers, the real answers, that they deserve. I want citizens to know exactly how it happened. And if necessary, I will ensure that we will hold the right people accountable. Now I want to turn things over to Commissioner Batts, who will go into more detail about what we know right now and where we stand. Commissioner?
Yes, ma'am. And there again, I'd like to thank the mayor for her strong leadership of always in these circumstances. Today, on this holy day, a mother had lost her son. Freddie Gray passed. And while my greatest hope and wish and desires is anytime we have an interaction as a police department or a contact, that everyone goes home safe as a result of that contact. All lives matter. All lives matter in this city. Last week, we reached out to Fred Gray's family to sit down to express with them the process that will take place now. They declined to have that interaction with us. We will try again this week to share with them the expectations of how long the process would take and the steps that will be undertaken. But today, with the sadness in my heart, I extend my deepest sympathies to his family. I have no words to offer that will ease the pain that has resulted in this issue. I have promised before, and we have come through every time, to be transparent. We will deliver that again. What we will do is put together a hybrid task force with our force investigation team, our homicide investigators, our lab personnel, and our training personnel to look deep into the issues surrounding this occurrence. And then we will go outside, as we have stated before, and look at an independent review board. We will be transparent, as the mayor said. We will be open. The charge of that force review board will be simply tell the truth and the facts behind that. And at that time, we will continue to work with the state's attorney, Ms. Marilyn Mosby, in her oversight of our investigation, putting both entities together to ensure again that we're open and transparent as an organization. What we will do is review all of our policies, our procedures, our equipment, and our actions to make sure that this does not happen again. We'll do everything that we possibly can to ensure that our residents and our citizens, as well as our officers, are protected and they get to go home.
Looking forward to a few questions.
Have the officers involved been questioned already, and have they given statements?
As is protocol and governed by the laws that are in place, we have interviewed all of the officers that are witnesses to this. We are working closely with the state's attorney's office. We have had several meetings, as the mayor and the police commissioner stated, and we have shared with them all of the information thus far. the administrative case, which is the second piece to this, which will be given to the Blue Ribbon Independent Review Committee, will not be able to be completed until a decision has been made by the state's attorney's office. And we're working tirelessly, as we mentioned by the commissioner. We've stood up the task force that will do nothing but investigate this case with the goal to provide a thorough, complete investigation to the state's attorney's office.
Administrative case aside, is there currently a criminal investigation into the conduct of the officers?
That is what we're doing. This is a two-part investigation. One is the criminal case, and that's a two-part criminal. That's for Mr. Gray, who is now the decedent in this case, but also the officers. We always have that component in there, and that's to determine whether there is any criminal culpability of the officers involved. So yes, that is currently what we are doing.
Can you release yet why Mr. Gray was engaged in the first place?
What we do know is that we had officers in an area of a high crime area, known to have high narcotic incidents, and the officers believed that Mr. Gray was either immediately involved or had been recently involved in criminal activity, and they decided to make contact with Mr. Gray. Now that is still a bit vague, but we've not interviewed all of the officers involved, and that's why one of the things we do not want to do is give out any information that is speculation and not fact-based, and that's what I can tell you thus far.
Why haven't they all been interviewed yet?
We cannot interview an officer administratively and compel them if an officer is the subject of the criminal investigation. Every person has the right against self-incrimination, so for us to compel an officer to provide a statement, that could potentially taint the criminal investigation, and therefore we're respecting the wishes of everyone doing the criminal investigation in addition to the labor laws and the laws of this state on when we can interview an involved employee administratively that is facing potential a criminal review.
So how many officers have you interviewed and how many have you, you know, yet to interview who you would like to interview?
We have interviewed every officer that was involved up into the officers that we believe are the subject of the criminal investigation. And we have also interviewed a number of witnesses. We will interview everyone, and if it takes, we will interview them multiple times. What we're doing now is reading all of the investigations, having them transcribed, all of the interviews, having them transcribed. We're going to do a detailed analysis to see if there's anything that we could have missed or overlooked, anything that we need to go back and re-interview anyone for, and that's what we will be doing in the days to come.
And is that an LEOBR issue or a due process issue simply, why they haven't been interviewed yet?
It's a combination of both.
The law specifies what we're doing, and we go by the procedures of the law.
Could he have been injured in the transport wagon, being that there are no seatbelts or restraints or anything of that nature?
As Madam Mayor said, that is truly what we want to find out just as much as everyone else. There was no evidence of any, early on, I could say with certainty, that we have no physical, video, or any other evidence of an altercation that would have resulted in this. So the question is how and why, and more importantly, if there is anything that contributory from our agency, how can we prevent that? We're not there yet, but we will get there.
We can do one more guess.
In the video, it looked like he was either being dragged to the wagon, to the van, or I don't know if he was, you know, couldn't walk or wasn't willing to walk. What's your interpretation of what his condition was when that video was taken?
I've seen the video, we've all seen the video. It's not a pleasant video, but I can't describe his medical condition at the time. I think there is a part in the video, and we've looked at it very carefully, where it appears that Mr. Gray is standing at the back of the van and assists himself in getting in the van. So that would be contrary to the beliefs that he was already incapacitated. But again, this is the opinion of one person who is not a medical physician. And those are exactly what we're trying to get to.
Did he resist being arrested?
And just a point of clarification, the vans do have seatbelts, and you had said it didn't. They are, we have seatbelts, and they have been checked and audited multiple times.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.